But the thing is that how well do we really believe it? Amen? No, that's okay. You can talk to me tonight. I am Bill, you know? Yeah. You know, the Bible, tonight we're going to talk about the sheep, or Jesus said, my sheep hear. Say that with me. My sheep hear. You know, there's a great scripture that Jesus said in John 8:47, and it's not going to be on your app tonight if you're looking for my sermon scriptures, but I want to just give it to you. Jesus said this in John 8:47. He said, he who is of God hears God's word. Therefore, you do not hear because you're not of God. Boy, what a powerful word. Amen. Listen, let me ask you a question. Have you ever thought, or have you ever made Psalm 23 a personal prayer, a personal daily prayer in your life? That is a personal prayer. Look at all the pronouns that are in it. For example, if you're there, the Lord is what? My shepherd. See how personal that is? I shall not want. He makes me, he leads me, restores what kind of soul? My soul. Yea, though I walk, I will not fear. See, all the a table for me, my head, my cup, follow me all the days of my life. I will dwell. Do you know how long it takes to make that your prayer? Not that we're talking about making it your prayer tonight. Do you know how long it takes to make Psalm 23, the 23rd Psalm, a prayer in your all during the day? It takes exactly, depending, well, if you're like have a long drawl in Texas drawl, you know, may take you a little longer. But you know, if you're a normal Texan, it'll take you 42 seconds to pray that prayer. I think it's a wonderful reminder of who we have, always with us, ever present with us. And I know that every Christian, every true Christian, oh, listen, they know Psalm 23, and they've probably, perhaps they've even memorized these six verses. But the question is not, do they know it or have they memorized it? The question is, do they believe these six verses? Amen? Boy, that is important tonight. You see, the Lord is my shepherd, and we know who he is. You see, we know more than King David knew. As a matter of fact, the Bible teaches us that Jesus is the great shepherd, Hebrews 13:20. And Jesus is the chief shepherd, and he's coming, 1 Peter 5:4. Jesus is our good shepherd. He says in John 10:11, I'm the good shepherd, and the good shepherd gives his life. In other words, takes our place for the sheep. And then let me give you the scripture before we get into our sermon tonight from John 10:27. Jesus said this about his sheep. He says, my sheep hear. My sheep hear. Boy, I'll tell you, loved one, if there has ever been a Wednesday night, if there has ever been a year that the Christian church needs to hear Jesus, it's today. Amen. He says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them. I have a relationship with them. I have an intimate fellowship, an ongoing fellowship with them. And they follow me. Two things from the lips of our Savior who died for us and loves us and who is coming for us. From his very own lips, Jesus said this, my sheep hear. Number two, my sheep follow me. You know what? We do not follow the voice of the world, do we? You know why? Because the voice of the world, loved one, will take you in the darkness. Jesus said in John 8:12, he says, I'm the light of the world. He who follows me will have the light of life and not walk in darkness. Amen? We don't want to be walking in any form of darkness. Jesus said in John 10:28, after that, he says, and I give, not earn, not work. He says, I give them eternal life. That's a gift, loved one. I give them eternal life. They shall never perish. In the Greek, it's a double emphatic. It's a double negative. It says where it reads, they will never, never perish. It doesn't say that they'll never, never sin, does it? Because we do sin sometimes, don't we? We don't want to, but we do. It says that you will never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. Now, as we set up this psalm tonight, that verse just taught us something. It tells us that the security, loved one, of the sheep is not found in the ability of the sheep. Amen? It's found in the ability of the shepherd. In other words, he takes care of us. Philippians, what is it, 1:6? He who began a good work in you, and you are a good work, he who began a good work in you will complete it to the very day of Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen? That means up to the moment that we step into heaven, God continues to work in you. The moment we see him, we shall be like him. Listen carefully. Jesus said, my sheep hear. I pray tonight that you have ears to hear these 6 verses. You know, not only do we hear, we follow. And remember this. I know you know this because you've been taught it for years. Hearing and doing is one act. Amen? It's not two things. Hearing and doing is one act. If I say, you know, brother, would you stand up? You don't have to stand up. But it means if you didn't stand up, you didn't hear. Is that correct? Yeah, you know, so hearing and doing is only one act. It's not two acts. So it's important tonight about when we look at this as my sheep hear, Jesus said, or rather King David said in Psalm 23:1, he says, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want, or I shall not lack. If you'll notice, is in italics in your Bible, it should be, meaning that it's not in the original language. It's not in the original manuscripts. It should really read this way in the Hebrew, Jehovah or Yahweh, my shepherd. So the Lord is my shepherd. Aren't you glad that the government's not your shepherd? Oh, but they want to be. Did you know that? Oh, they want to shepherd everything that you do. But you know what? We obey the laws of the land, but we obey God first. Amen? So it's not our government. It's not the world. The world is not our shepherd. Social media is certainly not our shepherd tonight. Who is our shepherd? Listen, he is so holy. He is a thrice holy God that whenever the Israelites, when they were getting ready to write his name or even speak his name, you know what they did? The scribes, you know what they did? They would take all of their clothes off and they would take a bath, put them back on, and then they would take a pen and write his name, and then they would throw the pen away. That's how holy God was to the Israelites. Pray it is the same for us. The Lord is my shepherd. Do you really, sheep, listen to me, do you really believe that tonight? Oh, it's so easy to say it. But how about when things happen in your life? The Bible says the Lord is my shepherd. And here, and I want you to catch this now. These are all in the present tense in the Hebrew, meaning that it's the Lord is your shepherd 24/7. He is always taking care of you, whether you feel it, whether you believe it. He is always looking after you because you are the sheep of his pasture. He is always tending to you. He's tending to me right now. He's tending to those that are ill. Do you understand? He is right there, right this minute. We're all of us are under the beautiful pastoral care of the living God. Now, he watches me. 1 Peter 5:7, casting all my care, all my anxiety, all my stress, whatever's happening in my life, casting all my care upon him, for he cares for you. Those are great words. There's a lot of people that don't care for me, and there's a lot of people that may not care for you, but I'm telling you that God cares for you tonight. Amen. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. You know, it's so funny. We worry about, you know, what are we going to put on, or clothes, or this or that, pay our bills, and high gas prices, or whatever there is happening in our world. God feeds the birds. He feeds the ravens. You know what I mean? He sends rain on the just and the unjust alike. But here's what I want you to catch. When David said, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He's not saying that he never said that I've never wanted. David said, I never lacked. There's a big difference. Do you know that? I mean, I can honestly say, I'm 45 now, and I can honestly, I can tell you right now that since I have been a believer, there's been a lot of things I wanted, and I didn't get them, but I have never lacked. Even when I thought it was lack, it wasn't lack, because God's definition of lack and our definition is totally different. Listen, God knows what you need, when you need it, and how you need it. Amen? The Lord, see, He is our shepherd. He's Jehovah Jireh, and He certainly provides. Amen? And here's what I know. Our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, wants us to live above the fear of want. The fear of want. Let me ask you a question. This is Wednesday. We can talk like this. Are you satisfied where you are? No, I mean, if you didn't have a thing. You know, I remember back when I was a first believer, when I first came to Christ, I was a young man, and I remember sitting, I was in college, and I had an apartment, and at night, I had one bed. That's all I had, and a little chair and a couch in the other room. Remember those old, mason jars? Thank you. And I'd fill it up with tea. Iced tea, that's Texas stuff, you know what I mean? And I'd put it right there, and I'd open my Bible, and I'd drink tea all the way. I didn't want to sleep. I just wanted to read my Bible. Do you know I was more satisfied then, I think, than I am right now? I didn't need anything but Jesus. Do you understand? Do you know that God says, open your mouth wide, and I will satisfy you? That's what God will do for us. That's how much He loves us tonight. So when we think about that, Jesus wants us to live above the fear of want. And you know why? Because we're the sheep of His pasture. Listen, we live in a world that is lacking. We live in a world that is shaking. We live in a world that is absolutely confused. But we're not confused. Again, you see, we are the sheep of His pasture. We're not the sheep of the world. We're the most unique sheep that's on this planet, loved one. And not only that, we're citizens of an unshakable kingdom, as you've heard me say many, many times. And not only that, when you have a need or want. Listen, the world has absolutely no cure for lack or want or worry. Did you know that? They have no cure for it. No one in the world has that. But His sheep, we have the cure. You know why? Because Jesus' sheep hear. What does the Bible tell us about when we're worried or whatever? In Philippians, 4:6? Be anxious for nothing. What does that word anxious mean? It means to be torn apart. We get our word angina, like having a heart attack or whatever. You know, that you're being torn apart in your life, pulled in different directions. It says be anxious for nothing. Nothing. Look that word up. What does it mean? Nothing. But everything by supplication and prayer with thanksgiving. Let your need be known unto, your request be known unto God. Amen? He knows what you need. You know, I'm so thankful that we know what we need. And the reason we don't have to worry is because our shepherd told us that we don't have to worry. And if you are worrying, and I'm not saying I'm immune from that, but you see, we have to go back. That's why we should recite this during the day, not under the law, but recite it. Oh, Lord, You are my shepherd. I shall not want. He's going to take care of me. You see, Jesus, our shepherd, He told us that we did not have to worry. Do you believe that? No. I'm going to be pushy tonight. Is that okay? I feel like being pushy. I don't know if it's the Holy Spirit, but I hope it is. You know? But Jesus, Jesus said, you don't have to worry. I don't want my sheep to worry. I'm your shepherd. I'm not worried, Jesus says. What does He tell us in Matthew 6:25? Therefore, I say unto you, do not worry about your life. Come on. Do you worry about your life? That's what we're most consumed with, isn't it? Don't worry, Jesus, don't worry about what you are most consumed with. He didn't say don't plan. He didn't say don't care. He didn't say walk in denial. That's not what this scripture is teaching at all. He says, don't worry about your life. And He goes on and he says, and don't worry about what you're going to eat. Don't worry about what you're going to drink. Don't worry about your body. Don't worry about what you're going to put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? And here comes one of the sermons I preach. You maybe remember it. Jesus said, look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow, they don't scatter seed, okay, nor reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Jesus said, are you not of more value than they? I preach that as a revolution sermon. Remember, we are in revolution. That is the greatest, and here's what I said, that is the greatest counsel ever given in this world about worry. And what is it? He said, look at the birds. Do you ever, and remember that sermon? Look at the birds. The next time you're worried, go out and look at them. They're not worried. Have you ever seen a worried bird? No, they're not worried. They're just busy. Matter of fact, if you have your bird seed out, they come and eat it. They're not worried. You have your little, what's that thing called? Bird bath? I mean, hey, I got to take a shower. Come on, you know? They have it made. No, they're not worried. Now listen, if our Father takes care of all nature, can't he take care of his sheep? Yeah. Oh, listen, you're more value, it says, than all of the birds on this planet. Listen, I want you to listen to me now. How long has God been feeding the birds on this planet? Since creation. Amen. You think he can take care of you? Of course he can. He can feed you. And Jesus goes on, well, which of you by worrying can add one cubit to its stature? He says, so why do you worry about clothing? Why do you worry about clothing? Go look in your closet right now. You know what? You're going to say, I haven't worn that in 20 years. Huh? Amen? Can I get an amen? Amen. Yeah. You know, you need to go and throw that stuff in Goodwill or something. You know? It's full. I can't find. You know what? I've got so many shirts, and I wear the same ones all the time. Yeah, isn't it crazy? Never mind. He says, I lost my place. Where am I? Oh, he says, don't worry about your clothing. Now here it comes, consider the lilies of the fields, how they grow. They don't labor or spin. In other words, they don't make cloth. He says, yet I say to you, even Solomon, all of his glory was not arrayed or clothed like one of these. You know, you can look at a lily, put it under a microscope, and there's not one garment ever created by man that will equal the beauty that's there. Do you follow me? So remember the sermon months ago, whenever it was, you know, look at the birds, look at the flowers. That's God's counsel. That's Jesus' counsel on worry. He says, if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is today and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? You know what little faith is? Little faith knows God, but little faith doesn't trust God. He says, therefore, Jesus says, in light of everything I just read to y'all, do not worry. Don't let your life be torn apart by worry. Do not worry saying, well, what are we going to eat? What are we going to drink? What shall we wear? For all these things the Gentiles seek, meaning the lost, the unbelievers, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. Listen, we unbelievers, are we to think like the world? No, we're not to think like the world because we're not of this world. I don't know about you, but I promise you, this verse gives me great comfort. My Father, your Father in heaven, he knows what you need. Isn't that great? And he knows things that you need that you don't even know you need. Do you understand? He's the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the end. He knows everything. Oh, and I say, oh, Lord, listen. Do you remember the revolution message that I preached to you? When I said that the two words that Jesus said, two very important words that are only found one place in the entire Bible, only one place, these two words. Do you know that these two words, Jesus never used them anywhere else about any other thing except in one verse? Matter of fact, he talked more about this one thing than he did the church. And that is these two words. They're revolutionary words. Jesus said in Matthew 6:33, if we stay in our text that we're in right now, in Matthew's gospel, seek ye first. Seek first Seek first the kingdom of God, His righteousness, and all these things, everything that you need in life, not what you think you need, what God knows you need, will be added unto you. Amen? Now listen, I want to ask you a question. Not only is that a command from the lips of Jesus, it is an absolute promise from Jesus, and He is God, and God cannot lie. Amen? And I look and I say, dear Lord, listen, Jesus would never tell you to seek and not be able to find. Now listen carefully. Here's where we mess up. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Jesus said, well, seek first the kingdom. We belong to the kingdom. We're citizens of heaven. Amen. So how we mess up is this. We start seeking things. You see, but the Bible says that all things are already yours. That's what Paul told the Corinthians. He says, all things are yours. The Bible says in Romans that you're co-heirs with Christ. Amen. So we're not to be seeking things. God already knows the things that you need. But we are to be doing something else. When we seek ye first the kingdom of God, we are seeking a person where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. That place is called the throne of the living grace. So what do we do since all things are ours? Do you really believe that? Let me give you another scripture. Let me see what. Blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has, that's past tense, who has blessed us, a fact, with every spiritual blessing in the heavenlies, which are in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Every blessing. You say, Lord, bless me. I even signed my email saying, oh, the Lord bless you. Well, He already has blessed you. But how do you get it? Well, you have to believe it. There's not one more blessing that you can receive. If we're calling God a liar. He says, you have been given every spiritual blessing in the heavenlies, meaning that come from heaven. Not when you get to heaven. You need your blessings here. So what do we do? Well, remember the scripture for this year. The violent take it by force. They seize it. In other words, we go to the throne of grace, and by faith, by believing, we appropriate the promises of God. Why? For the Lord, He's my shepherd, and I shall not want. Oh, you can hear that, but do you believe that? I mean, really, do you believe that with all your heart, loved one? I'm telling you, not only that, look at verse 2. You didn't think it was ever going to get there, did you? It says, He makes me. I love that. He makes me. What does He make me do? Lie down in green pastures, those fresh and tender green pastures, and that's plural, by the way. He leads me besides troubled waters. No, still waters. Listen, here's the thing. He makes me lie down. Sheep are stubborn. They are stubborn. Amen. Yeah. Listen, here's the thing. Our shepherd knows when to take you out of one pasture and put you in another pasture. And we struggle with, I like it right here. Well, there's nothing left for you to eat in that pasture. You know why? Because, a real sheep, you know what they do? They will stay in one area and they will eat every blade of grass off the ground until there's nothing left with dirt, and they'll just sit there. That's the truth. Have you ever been raised sheep? Hello? I'm not even going to get into that part. But listen, the thing is that they're just not very bright. All right? Now, it says, He leads me beside still waters, untroubled waters. Why? Because, see, sheep, they won't lie down. They won't lie down unless they feel totally secure. They have to be totally secure, loved one. Then they lie down. You know, the pastures that we need to be in, we think that we might know the pasture, but we don't. Only God knows the pasture we need to be in. And only God knows the exact still waters that He wants to place you beside. And I want you to listen to me now. You need to hear this tonight if you're the sheep of His pasture. The worst thing, and I have been guilty of this. The worst thing that we can do is fight our shepherd about the location that we are in. That is the worst thing that we can do. See, listen, Jesus knows exactly where we need to be. And here's the problem. You know why we fight against the location of where he puts us? Is because our definition of green pastures and still waters are not God's definition. And we want to define it instead of letting the Holy Spirit define it for us. I have been in pastures where I thought I was going to starve to death, and that was the best place that Bill Quinn could have ever been because God was training me. Does that make sense? We don't ever fight against that pasture. If you're hearing the voice of the Good Shepherd, if you're following the Good Shepherd. Now, that's just important. Listen, Jesus' definition of a green pasture still may be totally different. That's why we have to trust the Lord. What does it say in Proverbs 3, 5, and 6? Trust the Lord with all your heart, all of it, not part of it. Trust the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. Acknowledge him in all of your ways, and he, not you, and he will direct your paths. The word direct in Hebrew means to make smooth, make level, make prosperous. But here's the problem. We want to put our own definition on what that word means. Listen, we may be going, like you've heard me say, up the hill, and we're straining, and we say, this is not good. That's not a good path. Jesus said, no, that's a perfect path. That's the only one you need to be on. See, let the Lord, if you trust him, just then let the Lord do it, okay? Don't define it for yourself. The Bible says this. It says in Psalm 37:3, trust in the Lord, do good, dwell in the land, and feed on his faithfulness. Every day, feed on the word of God. Feed on God's faithfulness. What else does the shepherd do? I love this one, verse 3. He restores or he revives my soul. Do you need to be revived tonight? Are you worn out? He leads me in paths of righteousness, that narrow way, the narrow road. And he does it for his name's sake. In other words, he puts you on a road where you'll be right with God and right with man. For he is he's Jehovah Tsidkenu. Remember what that means? He is my God who is my righteousness. It's that imputed righteousness that we have. You know, this is a very important word tonight. I mean, maybe tonight, you know, you're just a worn out, old, weary sheep. Maybe you're old, maybe you're young, and you're just worn out. Then if that's the case, I want you to listen to me now. You need to hear. You need to hear and believe, because it just said that our shepherd restores. He revives your life. We need sometimes to be pumped back up. Amen? We need to be revived in our life. He leads us in paths of righteousness. He knows which way to go. You know, sheep, if you know anything about a sheep, they don't have homing instincts. They're not like a dog or a cat. Don't you wish if a cat ever left, they'd never come back? I mean, they know how to come back. I mean, they can climb a fence, you know? I mean, the dogs, they'll find, and I like dogs. I'm not a cat lover, but I'm a cat lover. I am. But sheep, they can't find their way home. They have to have a shepherd. You know, you've heard me say that Jesus has a cure for those sheep that wander away from the flock, don't you? Remember what it is? What does the good shepherd do? He goes and finds that sheep. Amen? Then he breaks its leg. Puts it up on the shoulder and takes it back home. Why? Because that little sheep now will be dependent upon the shepherd the rest of his life. See, Jesus knows exactly what he's doing. And he says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Look at why. For you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You know, if the rapture doesn't occur in our lifetime, and there's a, and you know, we, it could happen tonight. We just don't know. But we will, if not, then all of us, one day, when that final day comes, we will all walk through the valley of the shadow of death. And it's just a shadow. It's just, Spurgeon said this. If he said, you know why there's a shadow in the valley of death? He says, the reason there's a shadow in the valley of death is because there has to be a light that's casting that light or that shadow. Amen. And guess who that light is? He's Jesus Christ. Amen. He says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil. Why? Well, you're with me, Lord. You're there to comfort me. You know, loved one, listen, we don't have to fear anything. And we certainly don't have to fear death. You know why some Christians fear death? It's because you feel that you have to earn heaven. You feel like I'm messed up so many times, Lord, and you know, I know you forgive, but I'm not going to make it. Why would you let the devil lie to you? That's not the voice of the good shepherd. Do you understand? That's not the voice of our Savior. That's the voice of the wicked one. Listen, I'm going to tell you, we are not going to fear anything in death. You know why? Then you have to believe, because Jesus conquered death. He tasted death for every one of us. Amen. Matter of fact, the Bible says he tasted death for everyone. What the word tasted means, as you've heard me say so often, he experienced the depth of whatever death actually is. And then what did he do on the cross? He destroyed him who had the power over death, and that is the devil. The Bible says also in time that he has abolished death. He has made death is unemployed for the Christian, for the Christian. I'm not saying our body doesn't die. No, this old flesh, you know, our outer man is perishing, but our inner man is being renewed day by day. To be absent from this crummy body is to be present with the Lord. Amen. But here's what we need to understand. We will never, and when we leave this world and we go to heaven, the Lord is with us. Now listen, the reason that we do not have to fear death is because Jesus, it says, our shepherd is with us. He's with me. Oh, I love that. See, the Bible calls, remember Jehovah Shammah, meaning he is the present one. He is always present with you. The Bible says in Isaiah 41:10, fear not, God says, I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Listen, there is one word that you will never, ever hear, Christian. Never hear from the lips of our Savior, Jesus Christ. And you know what that word is? Goodbye. You know why? Because then he would break his promise. See Matthew 28:20. Lo, I am with you always, even until the end of the age. Amen. He's with us right now. Oh, for him to move, for the Holy Spirit to move, to revitalize, to revive the church again, for the gifts to be active. Man, oh God, we need that tonight. Oh, listen, here's the thing. Maybe you're in a valley tonight. And here's what I want you to see about being in a valley. You know, because we tend to get so negative and all of that. But see, in the valley, it says the valley of the shadow of death. In the valley, it's a place where you are aware of his presence. Amen? For thou art with me. You're aware of his presence. It's also a place of comfort. It says, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. They comfort you. That's true comfort, loved one, from the God of all comfort. And not only that, the valley is a place that we don't stay in. It's a place that we just literally walk through. Glory to God. Man, are you listening tonight? Are you hearing tonight? Are you believing tonight? He says here, you prepare. We don't prepare it. God says, you prepare. Jesus, our good shepherd, he prepares a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runneth over. If we would only allow the Holy Spirit to lead us, if we would only allow the voice of the good shepherd to lead us, no matter where, you know what you're going to find? You're going to find there a table that has been prepared for you in the presence of whatever you're going through, in the presence of whatever enemy you may have. And you will sit down at that table, and you know what? You will have not any fear of any enemies at all. Why? Because our shepherd not only protects us, he guards us, And the Bible says he is literally our rear guard. Amen? 2 Thessalonians 3:3, but the Lord is faithful, who will establish you and guard you. I love that. Guard you, protect you, and keep you from the evil one. He says, you anoint my head with oil. Oil is a symbol of the Holy Spirit. You have been sealed with the Holy Spirit until the very day of redemption. Amen? And that the seal is the mark, if you will, denotes ownership and security. No one can break the seal of God. No one can break it away and say, oh, I don't own you anymore. You are his purchased possession, loved one. And listen, it says, and my cup runs over. When does that run over for you? It runs over in your hour of need, whenever you're really going through it. The Bible says in Psalm 16:5, oh Lord, you are the portion of my inheritance. You're my cup. You maintain my lot. In other words, you constantly guard me. The all-sufficient God is our portion. Jesus Christ is all we need and all that we will ever need. You know why? He told us. He says, for without me, you can't do anything. You do nothing. Amen? Oh, we have it made. And look at this next one. I love this. He says, oh, surely. That means it's a fact. Say that word with me. Surely. Okay, it's a fact. It is certain. It's unbreakable, okay? You can never be changed. That's what that word means. Surely, goodness, mercy, God's unfailing love, his covenantal love, shall follow me. Follow me. Those Hebrew verbs there, in Hebrew, is a picture of an animal in hot pursuit of its prey. So here it's saying that God's goodness and God's mercy, his love, is in hot pursuit of the sheep of his pasture. Amen? And how long? What does it say? All the days, not some of the days of my life, all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever and ever and ever. Now listen, you on your worst day, and I've been having a lot of worse days lately. Not that I'm complaining. But you know what? I have to believe I have to believe God's word just like you do. Do you understand? Do you think because I have an office of that of a pastor, that doesn't mean that I'm immune from anything that you're, you know? We're all in it together, loved one. No. Listen, and I have to believe just like you believe. And I have to believe this because I am a sheep and I hear the voice. I want to hear it and I'm going to believe it. Is that this God's love and God's goodness is in hot pursuit of me and you every day, 24/7, all the days of my life. God's very own goodness and love. Do you know what the Bible says in James 1:17? Let me read it. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down, literally comes down constantly, not just once in a while, continually. It says, from the Father of the lights, meaning the creator of the sun, moon, and the heavens and all of that, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. Listen, God is good. And no shadow of turning means he never changes. Amen. Never changes. Malachi 3:6, I am the Lord God. I changes not. Hebrews 13:8, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. 1 John 1:5, it says, God is light and there is no darkness in him at all. Amen. He never changes. That is our God. He is our shepherd. Listen to me. Everything good in this world comes from God because all goodness originates with God. Jesus said this, he said in Matthew 7:9, he says, oh, what man is there among you? If his son asks for bread, will you give him a stone? If your little boy or girl's hungry, you say, daddy, I want some bread. You don't give him a rock. Hey, chew on this, kid. You don't do that. You know, if he asks for a fish, will you give him a serpent? You're going to give him a snake? No, you don't do that. If you then, being evil, Jesus says, here it comes, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him? Are you hearing? Sheep, are you hearing? Oh, how important it is to hear. Listen, our Father will never give us anything to lead us astray. He'll never give us anything to harm us. Why? Our God is good. He doeth good. Continually he does good. Amen? Did you know even the Bible says in Romans 2:4, I believe, it says, even the goodness of God leads man to repentance. It's not hanging somebody over hell. It's the goodness of God that brings a person into repentance. And the devil, you know what he wants? He wants you to think that God's holding something back from you. Oh, that's what he told Eve. Oh, Eve. Oh, did God? Surely he didn't say that. Oh, you can eat that. Your eyes will be open. Come on. You know, you'll just be just like God. God's not holding back anything from us. I know this. It says at the end of the race, he said, David goes, and we believe it too, that I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever and ever and ever and ever. That's our last move. Isn't that great? And you know what? Here's what's wonderful. In that place there, when we make it there, this is what's so wonderful. Nothing will ever go wrong. No, yeah, nothing. I mean, nothing will ever go wrong. You know? You're lucky you got to eat tonight. We had to shut the gas off. It was an emergency. Atmos had to come out. You know, and here I am. I come in early because I just found out I had to have a sermon for tonight for the sheep of his pastor that don't listen. And nothing ever goes wrong in heaven. You know why? There's not a Republican or a Democrat there. You know? No. I'm joking. I don't want to be political. You know what's going to be like? Listen, Revelation 21:2. Then I, John, I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. It's a holy city. That means forever free from sin. It means everyone that's in that city is holy. Oh, what a day. He says in Revelation 21:3, and John writes, he says, oh, listen, I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle or the house of God is with men, and he will dwell with them. Literally, he will pitch his tent with us. And he says, and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. And there'll be no more death. There'll be no more sorrow. There'll be no more crying. There'll be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. Oh, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever and ever and ever. Jesus made one of the great promises in the Bible. He said in John 14:1, he says, oh, don't let your heart be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions, many dwelling places. He says, if it were not so, I would have told you. But I go to prepare a place for you, that where I am, ye may be also. I will come again, and I will receive you to myself. Loved one, that's talking about the rapture of the church. We're going to go home and be with him forever and ever. Oh, listen, when is that going to happen? That I don't know the day. I don't know the hour. That's the greatest secret in the universe, isn't it? Jesus put it this way, the catching away of the church in Matthew 24:36. He says, but that hour, that day and hour, no one knows, not even the angels in heaven, but my Father only. Matthew 24:44, Jesus says, therefore you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming in an hour you do not expect. Let me tell you something. God's goodness and God's love is in hot pursuit of every person on this planet. He wants everyone to come to Christ. Amen. You know, when you think about our Lord, do you ever think that he is one of the most unbelievable gifts that God ever gave to mankind? Let me give you the scripture. In 2 Corinthians 9:15, Paul says, "Oh, thanks be to God for his indescribable gift." Talking about Jesus. That word means inexpressible gift. It can't even be fully declared. Paul is saying words are totally inadequate to express the worth and the magnificence of God's gift to mankind, Jesus Christ. And that gift that God sent, his only begotten Son, loved one, oh, that's what you call indescribable love. The Bible says in 1 John 4:9, "And this is love from God, that it was manifested toward us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him." It's also an incredible sacrifice, Romans 5:8. "But God demonstrates his own love." Demonstrate, that word means proves. Proves his own love, that while we're yet sinners, Christ died for us. Jehovah Rophi, "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. I shall never lack." Do you believe that? Oh, listen, loved one. You know, is Jesus, I know you say, is Jesus your Lord?
Yes.
Amen. Well, Bill, this is Wednesday night. We're all saved, are we? I don't know that. I feed and fish. Amen? No, listen, I'm going to say something. If you don't know Christ, maybe you're listening to the radio or listening live, whatever, and let me say something to you. You know, if you don't know Christ and you reject him, I want to know, ask you this. Who do you think who's the blame? Is it God? Is God at fault? Is he the blame? Well, no, he said he's not willing that any should perish, but all should come to the knowledge of the truth. Amen? He wants all men saved. He wants everybody saved. Is God's not the blame? Is Jesus, is he the blame? No, he's the one that died for you. He took your place on the cross. Well, how about the Holy Spirit? Is he the blame? No, he's the one who's pleading, moving, wooing to win you if you're not saved. Oh, listen. You know why people don't come to Christ? Jesus told us, John 5:40, "But you're not willing to come to me that you might have life." Would you listen carefully, church? Jesus said this, "My sheep hear." My sheep hear. They hear. What did Jesus tell us in Matthew 7:24? "Therefore, whoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man who built his house upon the rock. And when the floods and the winds and the storms of this life, when they came upon that person, that house did not fall. But he who hears these sayings of mine and doeth them not," Jesus said, "I will liken him unto a foolish man who built his house upon the sand. And when the storms of life and the winds and all the floods came through, great was the fall of that house." He who has ears to hear, loved one, let them hear what the Holy Spirit is saying to the church. Amen. Listen, I tell you, Jesus said, "My sheep hear." Maybe you're here tonight. You don't know the Lord. You never asked Christ to be your Lord. You may say you're a believer, but you don't live like a believer. You know, Jesus, listen, you know what he would say to you? "Do you hear my voice? Do you hear me calling you?" You know how important it is to hear the Lord? To hear and believe the Lord. Jesus said this in Matthew 13:19. "When anyone hears the word of the kingdom." When anyone, you hear the word of the kingdom. Here's a word. Jesus said, John 3:3, "You must be born again." That's a word from heaven. "When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it," you know what happens? "The wicked one," that's the devil, "he comes and he snatches away what was sown in his heart." Jesus said, "My sheep hear." They hear. You know, with our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed tonight, maybe you're here tonight and Maybe you've grown up in the church. Maybe you have 15 Bibles. Maybe you're faithful in church. I mean, you know, maybe you even serve in church, but you know what? You really have never, ever asked Jesus Christ to be your Lord, to come into your heart. You've never asked him. Love, when Jesus said, you know, you have to believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord. And God said, if you'll do that, I'll save you. But something you have to do. So if you're here tonight and you say, you know, Bill, I've been in church, but I've just never done that. You know what I would beg you to do then? I would beg you to this. Don't get out of your chair. Don't come to this altar. But just lift your hand up and say, Bill, would you pray for me? Because I want Jesus Christ to be the Lord of my life. And then put your hand right back down. That's it. I mean, that's I'm just asking tonight. I am feeding and I am fishing because I don't want to leave here and not be the pastor God called me to be. If that's you, just last call. Lift it high, put it right back down. Father, I thank you then tonight that everyone, they're all the sheep of your pasture. And I pray that if they're not hearing, Lord, that you would now once again give them ears to hear what the Spirit of God is saying to the church, because we need it. And Lord, maybe they're listening live. And you say, Bill, I want Jesus to be my Lord, and I'm not in the chapel. Well, then wherever you are, you could be in a bar. You could be in your car. You could be in the park crying, lonely. Just cry out right now. Say, Jesus, be my Lord. Oh, come live in me. Be my master and my king and my savior. In Jesus' name, if you do that, he will save you. Father, thank you for tonight. It's been a long time since I've had the opportunity to minister on a Wednesday. And I'm thankful, Lord. And I pray for Thomas again for healing in his body. I pray for all those that are present. Lord God, I pray for a revival of the Holy Spirit in all of our lives. I pray for the moving and the giftings of the Holy Spirit to revamp and revive in this church again, that where you're moving and manifesting and healing and delivering, Lord, like you've always done over these past 30 years. We need that, Father. Oh, show yourself, oh Lord. Manifest yourself. We ask it, we believe it, and we love you. The Lord is my shepherd. In Jesus' name, and we all say,